This is Conquering Columbus.
On today's episode, we've got Tony Collins, president and CEO of the YMCA of Central Ohio.
Oh, I was down here young as a five-year-old. My family moved here, so I've been in Central Ohio the rest of my life since then. My mom had an opportunity to come down here, and she actually ended up working at the Defense Construction Supply Center. Started my career as a part-time leader with the Lancaster Family YMCA, working with the kids that summer, and particularly this young person. I realized that my place in life was to help and be with kids and to help support kids in their growth and to be there for them. I joined the YMCA team in 2019 and have been the president and CEO there since then, and just incredibly blessed to be able to have the impact that I'm having right now and giving back to a cause that I very much believe in that had such an impact on my life. Addressing this crisis we have in Central Ohio with homelessness. The Y is a large part of the solution, and we're going to continue to play a role in that. We're partnered, of course, with our friends at Community Shelter Board, the YW, LSS, Mary Haven, all the folks who are at the table to help do that work in partnership with the city and the county. I'm excited to see how can we get great at ensuring that everybody has a home.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Conquering Columbus. Today on the show, we're sitting down with the president and CEO of the YMCA of Central Ohio, Tony Collins. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, Tony, normally we start these things off as we'd like to learn a little bit more of the personal side of our guests and talking about details about their background. And sometimes it goes as far back as their childhood and upbringing. So I normally started off with a question of understanding, were you born and raised here in Columbus?
I was. Actually born in Toledo, Ohio, but raised here in Central Ohio my whole life. Yep.
Okay. So I'm also Toledo, Ohio, born.
Yeah, I saw that.
From Oregon on the east side of Toledo.
West side Toledo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Small world. A lot of people from Toledo come into Columbus too. There's just so much opportunity down here.
Absolutely. Great community to be in, right?
So born in Toledo. And then you said, how long did you stay there before you ended up?
Oh, I was down here young as a five-year-old. My family moved here. So I've been in Central Ohio the rest of my life since then.
And what sparked the move to Columbus, do you know?
Oh, I think the same as it sparks folks today now, right? Is my mom had an opportunity to come down here, and she actually ended up working at the Defense Construction Supply Center. She was also a helicopter pilot at the Beetler Army here at the Ohio National Guard base. So those two locations worked out perfectly for her to move our family here to Central Ohio.
Wow, that is super cool. And I mean, just from a female perspective, you don't hear of a female helicopter pilot very often.
She was the first in the state of Ohio. Also, you'll appreciate this as a Toledo native. She was the first person to land a helicopter on Toledo Hospital back in 1982 or 81, somewhere around there. So she landed a medical helicopter on the top of the hospital. It was a big deal back in the Toledo days.
And so how long did she fly for? I mean, from the point you were born all the way up until what age?
Oh, I wasn't, no. I was third grade when she got her license. So she probably flew for 10 years and then was activated again out of the National Guard during Desert Storm, and then retired after 20 years of service in the military, and then another 20 years to the federal government. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty incredible.
So you come down here to Columbus at a young age. You go through education-wise, where did you do your schooling?
Yeah, I'm an OU grad here, a proud Bobcat. I have a master's degree from Franklin University, but definitely a proud Bobcat.
What did you study at OU?
Believe it or not, I am a recreation management major. I have a bachelor's of science in recreation management. My master's is in business, of course, but a lot of folks are surprised to hear that there's actually a degree that focuses on the work that I do, and there is. I've done a lot of professional work as well as academic work to prepare for what I'm doing.
Did you know what you wanted to do and where you wanted to be at a young age, or did it unfold over time?
You know, it unfolded while I was in college, and it was because of my contact and work with the YMCA, actually, that helped guide that path forward.
So that's maybe a good place to talk about one of the questions we were discussing earlier around your connection to the Y, and maybe sharing a little bit about your Y experience and how it shaped you into who you are today.
Yeah, it's absolutely very proud. I say often to folks that the reason why I do what I do and am where I am, I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college. And I owe that to my mother, whom I mentioned earlier, a strong leader who helped push me and drive me to where I need to be, but also to the YMCA. At 12 years old, my mom moved us down to Lancaster, Ohio, from Columbus to Lancaster. I knew no one. It was a small town. She wanted me to have a place to be and learn and meet new friends. So she dropped me off at the Y, the Lancaster Fairfield County Y. And at 12 years old, I took a swimming lesson, and quickly the aquatics director said to me, "Hey, you know what? Why don't you help me teach other swimming lessons?" And before you knew it, we were starting something called the YMCA Leaders Club at that Y, and brought a bunch of young people together and have the opportunity to learn about our leadership, learn who we are as individuals, and learn about giving back and community service there in Lancaster. And always have that opportunity to look back and say, wow, that really had such an impact. And part of my focus in my career has been able to make sure that I'm doing work that helps provide that space for young people to be connected to safe and healthy spaces and adults.
Did you have siblings growing up?
So I was an only child, but I had two stepbrothers, and I have two stepbrothers that in Lancaster, and we grew up, we're a good 10 years apart from each other. So we didn't have a lot of contact and relationship when you were younger. We're much closer now than we're older.
Did they share that same Y connection with you, or was the age difference part of the reason that maybe you found such a community at that Lancaster Y?
For sure. The age difference was exactly so large. They were much younger at that time. When I was out and in college, they had other new activities, you know, sports and some of their friends' things.
So Bobcat, how long do you spend off of undergrad before you go back and do your MBA at Franklin?
Oh, a number of years. In fact, I didn't complete my MBA until 2014. So it was a good 30 years. Boy, do the math there. So yeah, 2000, I graduated in 1994 from Ohio University. So 2014 for my graduate degree.
So take me through a little bit of that journey between that roughly 20 years or so and how you navigated your professional career and what the milestones look like along the way.
Yeah, you know, I've had a blessed path along the way. I started my career as a part-time leader with the Lancaster Family YMCA. I was pre-law when I started college at Ohio University, going to be a poli-sci pre-law major and then go on to law school. And I had the opportunity to work at our local Y as a camp counselor during the summer and during the school year, a school-age child care leader. And I tell the story often. There was a young person that I had a significant amount of work with over the years through the school-age program as well as summer camp. And working with the kids that summer, and particularly this young person, I realized that my place in life was to help and be with kids and to help support kids in their growth and to be there for them and their families and the community they live in. And so it was my freshman year, I switched to education. My sophomore year, when I learned that recreation management was actually a degree, I switched to recreation management. I started my career with the Akron Y. 6 years, worked with the Akron Y and the camping side of things, venture recreation, camping, outdoor education, those spaces. And then took a break from Y work, actually, and spent 19 years in the public parks and recreation world, of which the last 4.5 years, I was the honored to serve as the director of recreation parks for the city of Columbus. And that role connected me directly to partnering with the YMCA of Central Ohio and getting to be reacquainted with their work and their impact here in Central Ohio. And when there was a opportunity to step in and have a new leadership role, I joined the YMCA team in 2019 and have been the president and CEO there since then, and just incredibly blessed to be able to have the impact that I'm having right now and giving back to a cause that I very much believe in that had such an impact on my life.
We'll dive deeper and spend the majority of our discussion around what that looks like today and all the initiatives that you've started working on since being there and that you're focused on going forward. But to spend a stint just on that 14 years,
yeah.
You know, it sounds like you were very mission driven from a young age on wanting to contribute to society and give back and help others. And then you go to this parks and recreation side. How did those two worlds come together? I think a lot of people don't really, I at least don't understand when I drive around the community and I see parks and recs and outside of the show that I've watched for years and I love that I'm sure is 0% realistic, how those pieces come together. And so how did you find that as a fulfilling role in your life?
Yeah, you know what? To be clear, the Parks and Rec show is actually very valid. There's a lot of episodes that I can say, yep, saw that, did that. I've often either been compared to Ron Swanson or Leslie Knope, either one.
They're both compliments.
Yeah, it just depends on the type of work I was doing at the time. You know, Parks and Recreation, like YMCA work, it's so little known. It's one of those things. This is how I always explain it to folks. When you ask people what they want their taxpayer dollars to go to, they talk about police, they talk about fire, they talk about schools. Those are always the first three responses, right? But when you ask people what they're most proud of in their community, when you ask people about what they tell their neighbors who don't live in, you know, their hometown, or what they tell their relatives that live out of town, ask them what they talk about. They talk about the parks and recreation amenities, the attractions, the things that make their community feel like home, and also that bring value to them and the community as a whole. So when I think of parks and recreation and YMCA work, they're very similar in that sense, one. Two is, it is the give back, it is the service back. It's bringing the community together. Parks and recreation is focused on healthy living and conservation and equity. And our YMCA work is focused on healthy living, youth development, and equity and social responsibility. So when you look at those, they're very aligned, very parallel. The difference is maybe the tools that we use, right? Parks and Recreation is going to use trails, right? Huge opportunity to bring the community together, connect people to their community. They're going to use parks to bring people together, families, communities, neighborhoods. And then they're going to use centers and programs, like we use centers and programs. Recreation Department here in Columbus has 28 recreation centers that they bring community together to connect their community. And our Ys have 13 Ys in five counties where we bring the community together and connect our community. Now, our Y stretches into youth development focus and really emphasizes childcare and those things which we'll talk about, as well as our social responsibility work in terms of social service work that we impact. So it's a little bit, you know, different, but very similar in scope and community impact and community service.
Yeah, I can definitely understand how the underlying current of both of those is very similar from a values and maybe even a mission and vision perspective. So you get reconnected with YMCA of Central Ohio.
Yeah.
And you decide that they offer up an opening. You reach out actively to jump in board or...
Actually, I didn't at all. In fact, I have a great story about that. I won't go detail on it, but bottom line was I was helping support a program that we were involved with the city, and I was asked to give some input on what the city Rec and Parks Department, the city leadership felt would be key traits of the next YMCA of Central Ohio leader. And I gave that feedback, and in that process was asked to be considered. And I said, of course, I'd consider it. I love my role with Recreation Parks and incredible teammates that I worked with, both in the city as well as the Recreation and Parks team that cared so much about serving. So I was having a blast. Love that. Miss it still today. But the opportunity to give them back to the Y and contribute to the cause that helped shape me was just too much. So excited to be, you know, join the team in June of 19.
Hey, everybody. Mike here. We're going to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, One Columbus. And we are very excited to partner with One Columbus. They really, really share the same vision as us here at the Conquering Columbus podcast, which is really building up the Columbus region to be one of the most prosperous regions in the United States. And One Columbus serves as the business location resource for companies across Central Ohio and around the world as those companies grow, innovate, and compete within the global economy. And they help us lead a regional growth strategy that develops and attracts the world's most competitive companies, grows a highly adaptive workforce, and prepares our communities for the future, inspiring innovation across the board. Their mission really is just ensuring the Columbus region is a vibrant place to build businesses and careers. So again, we really appreciate all of their support. You want to learn more about them, go check out their website, columbusregion.com. That's columbusregion.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be right back into the episode.
So you jump on board, and just to kind of establish the size of the organization for the listenership, you talked about 13 different locations across Central Ohio. I'm assuming it was 13 even in June of 19 when you joined.
Actually, it was 15 locations in Y's in Central Ohio in five counties at that time. The pandemic impacts, financial challenges that we went through at that time forced us to close two of those centers. One was a longstanding partnership in Urban Crest, and the other is a legendary, you know, our flagship YMCA that was located in the corner of Front and Long Street that was built in 1924 and served thousands of people in Central Ohio over the 100 years that it was open. We had to close that during the pandemic, and it is now going to be repurposed and continue to serve the community in a different way.
And so the business model as well, nonprofit, income, revenue streams are coming from donors, assume larger organizations and corporations across the city, and then maybe some of the funded activities for the youth and the individuals participating inside of the Y. Is that kind of the three?
Yeah. You know, let me step back a step and talk a little bit more about the scope of the Y, because I think that's important when you talk about the funding model. We are, yes, a nonprofit, and that's something that's interesting. A survey that was done in 2019, a Saperstein study in the state of Ohio, showed that 51% of the residents of the state of Ohio thought that the YMCA was a private for-profit health club, which I just think is fascinating. I can show you some budgets that will, you know, show otherwise. But it's just a real question to folks that people don't know what we do and who we are. And sometimes the Y is thought of as like the swim and gym, right? So you think about those 13 centers in the five counties. But in fact, we're the largest childcare provider in Central Ohio. And in fact, the Y is usually the largest childcare provider in any region it's in, the state of Ohio as well, and usually in the country as well. We are also, here in Central Ohio, we have 75 sites serving 4,500 kids in early learning, preschool, Head Start, school age, middle school, and even high school programming. So huge investment in youth development. In 2023, we served over 30,000 kids at our locations and a youth development capacity in one way, form, or another. So absolute massive impact in that space. And then the other, we're a huge human service, social service organization. And a lot of wise how that shows up is we're a volunteer-led organization. We're the second largest volunteer organization in the country behind the Red Cross. We count on volunteers to be active in our programs or in our leadership one way, form, or another. But we're also about programming that impacts our community, everything from produce drops at our Four Y's here in Columbus to community events, community programming. We participate with Celebrate One, all types of social service, community strengthening programming is what we call it. This Y is also unique. We are the largest YMCA in the country that is still in the housing and shelter space. Tonight, 1,200 people will sleep under a roof that is supported or provided by the YMCA of Central Ohio. So that includes 800 plus people just down the street at the Van Buren Emergency Shelter for Women and Families. And then we have three permanent supportive housing sites here in Central Ohio, as well as a number of other scattered sites and programs that we work with. And that's our service on the in partnership with the Community Shelter Board that is on the continuum that helps support people in emergency shelter and be resheltered or rehomed. We also do work in our stable families programming that helps keep people stable in their homes. So all in all, we will either house or keep people in their house. We'll have 2,000 people in 2024 that will be served in that space. So when you think about all of that work and you think about the funding structure is similar to what you said. So first and foremost, we are the original social entrepreneur. Social entrepreneurism is such a big deal. You pick the cause, pick the program. We are one of the original. We've been doing this since, we're 166 years here in Central Ohio, but the social entrepreneur work's been, you know, 150 plus years. Our first and foremost thing is our membership. 109,000 people belong to the Y here in Central Ohio. Those folks, a little bit of their membership fees, a little bit of their program fee every time they sign up for a camp or a childcare program or a swimming lesson, a little bit of those dollars goes towards providing all of those programs here in Central Ohio. The second aspect that we bring programming, or we're able to provide service, is grants. And our grants come from government partners primarily, but also corporate partners to your point earlier. Our government partners are federal, state, and local government, whether it's housing and shelter, childcare, preschool, Head Start, all those things are supported through government funding sources. And then private grants through our corporate partners here in Columbus, Battelle, AEP, nationwide. We have just under 100 different partnerships throughout the community that folks help us do the work and provide that impact directly to our Central Ohio residents. And then individual giving. You know, folks like you and me who give. We had 136 members of our staff contribute over 130,000 $100,000 this year towards our cause. So gave back out of their paychecks dollars to help provide these services and programs to our community. Our board participates. Everybody on our board donates. Our volunteer boards throughout the system, I think it's over 100 volunteers that help contribute. And then individual members and donors throughout the community contribute over $1.2 million last year alone to help our cause. So big support from the community. We wouldn't be here with all of that, but a really large revenue structure when you think about our work.
Yeah, there's tentacles in so many different things. And yeah. I mean, over 166 years, you're going to evolve and grow a lot. And yeah. even to remain established as an organization for that amount of time is profound and yeah. noteworthy. But to nearly get $1,000 per person out of the 136 people that you mentioned to give back to the place yeah. they're working is also like, that is an astonishing KPI to reflect on. So as you think about just the branding element and all the ways that you're helping out the people across the community, because to use your terminology, I have always thought about the Y as the swimming gym.
Yep.
I have profound memories growing up at the local one and what we would go and do there versus, you know, not. And so I would have never thought about housing and all the ways you're giving back from a childcare perspective.
Yeah.
How do you try to direct the team's focus to get that brand message out more? Maybe podcasts like this are a part of it. So people understand the impact that's having on the community and they can be more inclined to give back and continue to drive that mission forward.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I'll tell you two things. One is, you know, our work is very focused on those three areas I mentioned earlier, right? Healthy living, youth development, and social responsibility. So the team being focused on the work is the easy part, right? We can all... It seems like, to your point, we seem broadly spread because to most folks, they don't realize we do that work. But it's the work we've been doing for years and years, right? We can find comfort in the fact that it's easy for us to be focused on that work. Our biggest challenge is telling our story because it is so broad. And we, especially these days, live in such a, you know, a microsecond information, you know, day, whether it's social media. It can't all fit on a tweet. It can't all fit on a TikTok or a, you know, Instagram post, right? So we work very hard to make sure that we're partnered with the community and helping to tell that story. We find different partners like yourself who help us with that piece of it through all types of medias. And we ask people to help advocate for us, our board members, our volunteers, our staff to help tell our story. We have 1,800 staff members in those five county areas. We have over 100 volunteers in just our policy side that help us tell our story. Getting that out there, what I find is those folks tend to focus most on the space that their impact area is in. So our housing and shelter advocates are going to share the housing and shelter space, right? The wellness people are going to share the wellness space, and our child care and youth development space, people will share that story. So that's okay. It just makes my job really critical to get out there and continue to tell that story. The majority of our team is back doing the work, heads down, getting it done. So my job is to get out there and help share that story.
Is the team divided amongst those three segments?
We have folks who specialize in areas, but we also have folks that come across and support all of the areas.
And so you might have broadly answered or touched on it in a bit in the last couple of questions, but how have things evolved over those last 168 years?
Yeah.
And what does it look like going forward?
You know, I was thinking about that on the way over here, and I think about the history of the Y, you know, 168 years here in Central Ohio. You know, we still rest. It's interesting. We still rest on those same mission, that same mission and values that we started with. How that mission and values has evolved, how the work has evolved is what's incredible. It's just mind-blowing. And you know, the mission and values are steadfast. But we now realize what our role is in anti-racism, right? We now realize in our role in advocating for equity and inclusion and ensuring that we're reflecting and are of our community, not just serving our community, but are of our community. That's an evolution, right? So when you look at our services, you know, everything from healthy living where, well, let's just step back a second to the scope, right? We had one building. In 1924, we had one building in downtown Columbus, right? Now we have 13 buildings in five counties. We have 75 childcare sites, right? The housing and shelter aspect, all of it has evolved and grown. 109,000 people are members now. That's a massive number when you think about the size of our community. And that's not including all the program participants. That's just memberships. That's not folks who just take swimming lessons or just come to day camp or Camp Wilson or any of the things we do.
That's almost, I mean, that's 10% of Columbus's population.
Is that incredible?
Maybe a little over 10%.
It's such a joy to be able to do the work and have the contact and connection to so many people. But I say all that, it's evolved in that growth. And of course, the work has changed, right? I mean, health and wellness, the journey of health and wellness looked one way in the 50s. Today, it's all the things. It's your physical journey. You may want to come in and walk on a treadmill, right? But it's also aquatic safety, right? And learning how to swim and how important that is. It's also mental health, right? The stories of the, you know, we have groups that come to our Ys, hang out in the front lobby over a cup of coffee, and that's it. That's what they're there for. Community, connection. Our Silver Sneakers program, which serves our seniors, 55 plus, we have thousands of seniors to come to our Ys every day. This is their community.
Hey, everybody. We're going to take a quick break here to talk about one of our sponsors, Franklin Heating and Cooling. They have been in business since 1994 here in Columbus, one of the longest lived HVAC companies in town. You know, when I was looking for an HVAC company this spring, the first thing I did was I wanted to check out Google reviews, see what other people are saying. Franklin Heating and Cooling has a ton of great reviews, almost 200 of them, all positive. And, you know, I actually had them out myself. The technician that showed up, Chris, he was great, showed up on time, didn't try to sell me anything I didn't need, was really detailed and thorough. Absolutely recommend them for all your HVAC needs. So if you want to learn more about them, go ahead and check out franklinheatingandrefrigeration.com. That is their website, franklinheatingandrefrigeration.com, and tell them Conquering Columbus sent you.
I have a great story about a woman I met in Hilliard. She's a member at the Hilliard Y. She grew up in Hilliard on a farm. So she's lived in Hilliard her entire life. She's a member of the Y there. And her best friend, she met 10 years ago, who moved here from Pakistan, who had moved to Hilliard, who joined the Y, and they walk on the treadmill together every morning at 5:30 a.m. That's community, that's connection, that's mental health, right? So the wellness journey has changed, but it's still very, you know, it's still wellness. It's still what we were doing back in 1924. The housing space has changed. We used to house folks who were coming back from World War II at the Spring Street Y, who flew as Tuskegee Airmen and needed a place to live before they got on their feet, right? Needed their job and got their apartment or whatever it was. We're doing the same thing today. It's just evolved differently. It's supportive housing, right? It's emergency housing. So it continues to grow. Childcare, we've always been in the space where we've worked with kids and youth development, but now we're the largest provider of affordable, high-quality, accessible childcare in Central Ohio. When you look at the data that Future Ready 5 is showing us in terms of the challenges of kids being ready for kindergarten in Franklin County, 60% of the kids in Franklin County are not prepared for kindergarten, I think it is. When you look at our people of color, Black children, 70%, 80% for children from the Spanish-speaking community, the Latin community. When you look at those data points, our kids who are in our programs are 94% of them are ready for kindergarten. So we've been doing youth development, but it's much more focused. And it's much more focused on lifting up equity in our community and much more focused on preparing kids for readiness for kindergarten. We probably weren't that specific back in 1950s, right, when we were doing it. So it's just, those are just some examples of the evolution of our work. It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it, but pretty exciting.
Well, a couple of pieces that really stick out and resonate, it's like when you're young, you don't realize, maybe some people do, I sure didn't, the impact of those that you're surrounding yourself with and getting yourself in the right environment and how much that has their trajectory on where your life is going to go going forward. And so getting these people in the community and centered around the ideology of mental health positivity and physical health positivity, although maybe small on a daily basis, is extremely impactful over time. And then as I think about getting into older ages, and I have some family members that fall into this category of, like, I think loneliness, I have no science to back this up, but I'm just watching it in their lives. Loneliness has to be the worst thing next to maybe it's like the processed foods we put in our body that we can do to ourselves. And having a place where you can go, whether you talk to somebody or not, but you can just be surrounded by other people and feel welcome is such a powerful piece. And I think that I take it for granted because I'm fortunate to have really great friends here with me in Central Ohio, but not everybody grew up in that same segment. And so for you guys to be able to provide an environment where they can do that, I mean, changing lives on a daily basis, I can only imagine how positive and how meaningful that is for those groups of people.
It is. It's 100%. You agree. And, you know, if you walked into one of our Y's right now, our folks on our welcome centers, our folks on the wellness floors, folks in the pools, they know everyone. They know people's names, that, you know, you are welcomed, you are included, right? And I think you're right. That has a huge impact on mental health. And yeah, I don't have the data either on loneliness, but it's a fact. I mean, mental health issues, mental health challenges were declared a national health emergency by our Surgeon General, right? I mean, so we know that that's one of the number one challenges we have in our community right now across the country, not just here in Central Ohio. And I think the why is a part of that. The why is a part of addressing those issues here in Central Ohio. And you know, all the way down to the aspect of what I mentioned when I talked about as a 12-year-old, when you get dropped off at a place where you have safe adults that connect with you and help you feel welcomed and included, that's life-changing, right? I'm an example of that, right? And the why leads in that space, and we're partnered with Recreation Parks, and we're partnered with Boys and Girls Club and Big Brothers Big Sisters and Junior Achievement, because all of us need to come together with the school district, city year, all of us need to come together to provide that space for young people to have that healthy connection to adults, to healthy spaces. Central Ohio needs it just as much as any time in our history. And I would say that's probably the same for most cities around the country.
What are you most excited about going forward? You mentioned a lot of the initiatives currently going on, and there's certain things that you are really, really excited for the community to see evolve over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I will tell you, first and foremost, I want to continue. Number one, the why is focused on the health and wellness of our community, the healthy well-being of our community, physical and mental health. So we will continue to add programming to bring and welcome our community, whether you're celebrating your first birthday or your 100th birthday, into our spaces and connecting with our folks. So I'm excited about what that growth journey looks like over the next 3 to 5 years. We're talking about partnerships with new communities, as well as strengthening the partnerships of the communities we're already in. The second piece is our youth development space and addressing kindergarten readiness and third grade success. You know, I mentioned our 94% success rate with kindergarten readiness, you know, serving 4,000 kids every year in that space. We have added, through a partnership with Battelle, we've added STEM-based learning to all of our youth development programming, and we've added social-emotional learning to our youth development programming. So whether you're at day camp or you're at a fifth grade after-school Y Club program, you're going to have those core components to help lift you up. And at the end of the day, we're going to have more kids that are ready for kindergarten and more kids that are successful by third grade and more kids that are just in a safe, healthy space, right? And then finally, you know, addressing this crisis we have in Central Ohio with homelessness. The why is a large part of the solution, and we're going to continue to play a role in that. We're partnered, of course, with our friends at Community Shelter Board, the YW, LSS, Mary Haven, all the folks who are at the table to help do that work in partnership with the city and the county. I'm excited to see we're doing pretty good, but how can we get great at ensuring that everybody has a home? So those are probably the three key areas that I'm looking forward to in the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, Tony, the last question we always ask on the show is centered around the theme, which is live uncomfortably. And so as you reflect on what you're doing today and your path to where you are today, how does that resonate with you, if at all? And what do you think of when you hear those words?
Wow. When I think about living uncomfortably, that's a great question. You know, I would say just continuing to think differently about how we provide our service. We've been around for a long time and we're a large organization, right? So we get set in our patterns. And some of our patterns are a necessity for our, you know, economic sustainability or for the impact model that we're trying to live within. But what we realize in this ever-changing world, we have to figure out new ways to evolve and new ways to collaborate and new ways to sustain our economic future. And they're beyond what I've learned the last 25 years, right? There's new business models, there's new ways to communicate, there's new ways to bring people to the table and ensure that we're working with people and not to people, not doing things to people, but working with them. So I think when I think about living uncomfortably, I think about pushing myself out of that model of what I've seen in the past and think about what could be and should be looking forward.
Tony, that's a great answer and appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to share our story.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.